Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Jesus said in the book of Mark that we're going to read right now, unless those days were shortened. So this is a prophetic message this morning. This is for our understanding. This is to let us know the time that we live in. We all know that God said that before he comes, that he was going to shorten the days. Why would he shorten the days? He's shortening the days so that if he did not remove us from this earth, no flesh would be spared. As we can see, nuclear war right now, the drumbeats of nuclear war is taking place. There are things falling from the sky. The tornadoes and the hurricanes that are taking place that are ravishing this nation the last 3 years. The floods that are taking place, my goodness. The earthquakes and the tsunamis that are taking place. God said that these things would happen right before he comes. My question is this: are you prepared? Are you ready to see the Lord? Is your life and your household, is it in order? My goodness. And so, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we're asking God now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, Unless the Days Be Shortened. Unless the days be shortened. And so, let's read together verses 12 through 27, and then we can be seated. Amen? Are we ready? Let's read. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Verse 15. Let him who is on the housetop now go down to the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to his garment. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter. For in those days there will be tribulation such as not been from the beginning of creation, which God created until time, nor ever shall be. Verse 20. And unless the Lord had shortened those days. Did you catch that? No flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, hallelujah, whom he chose, he shortened the days. God is shortening the days right now. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, he is there, do not believe. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. Verse 24. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of the heaven will fall, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man come in the clouds with great power and glory. And when he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of the heaven. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. As I studied this verses of scripture, these passages in Mark chapter 13, God showed me that there is a twofold prophetic word out of here. It was for the coming destruction of the temple and also for the last days for us. There's always a prophetic, profound connection to the times that we live in as well. So let's look at this. Let's break this all down. Can I get an amen? And we're going to go kind of quickly so that we can have all that God has prepared for us this morning. So let's go to verse 12. Now, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. Saints, Jesus warned that in the coming persecutions, his followers would be betrayed by their family members and friends, as well by religious and civil authorities. Certainly, this was a reality for the Roman believers to whom Mark was writing. The fear of being killed for one's Christian faith would pit family members against one another. But I'm here to let you know, it has not changed in 2,000 years. Can I get amen? Amen? Listen, when you gave your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, even your own family members have disowned you. That's right. Jesus said that some will be pit against one another. Why? Because God is holy. He's righteous. And when he imputes his righteousness upon you, he changes you from the inside out. You are no longer the same. And so those in your family, those that are around you, they can't figure. They're like rubbing their eyes. Well, what's going on? This is not the same person. You see, those people in your family and friends who have not been changed by the power of God, they are still living in their sin. And in their eyes, their natural eyes, they don't see Christ in you. They just see something that's not the same anymore because they're not spiritually discerned. So they're looking at it in the natural. So they'll come up with accusations. Oh, you're just goody good two shoes. Oh, I'm glad you needed God because you needed God. And yet they need God more than you. They cannot see spiritual things. Look what Jesus said here in Luke. He said this, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? You know, there's all kinds of churches. Oh, can't you just love one another? We're about love. Oh, just let them continue to live in sin. There's nothing wrong with the transgenders and the homosexuals and those who abort babies and then bring the babies alive and put it to the side and let's decide to kill it. Jesus said, do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. This is Jesus' words. We all think, oh man, where's the love, brother? No, Jesus came to bring spiritual authority. Jesus came to preach truth. Jesus came to separate the sheep from the goats. He's a man's man. Hallelujah. Look what he says. From now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. This is Jesus saying this. But churches won't teach you this. You know why? Because they want to suppress the truth. And daughter-in-law against daughter-in-law, mother against mother-in-law. Oh, I know some of you probably have some wonderful mother-in-laws. Especially the unsaved ones. Let's move on to verse 13. We got a whole lot to cover. And you will be hated by all men for my name's sake, Jesus said. But he who endures to the end shall be what? Saved. All God is saying, hold on. Hold on. Don't let go of me. It looks ugly. They're talking all kinds of neck about you. Man, they're mocking you. They're slandering you. They're saying all kinds of evil against you. Hang on. Endure it. You pray for them, but you don't need to be like them no more. Can I get amen? You separate yourself. Be sanctified. Hallelujah. God is good. We serve a mighty God, don't we? Saints, Jesus' followers will face the reality that everyone will hate them because of their allegiance to Christ. How many of you have an allegiance with Christ? Oh, come on. For a Jew to convert to Christianity would soon become very dangerous because it would be hatred and ostracism. He would be ostracized. If he had to go and tell his mom and dad, I'm a believer now in Yeshua, they will disown him. They will ostracize him. They will rip their clothes and no longer remember their child again. And Jesus' words look forward to the time of the end when hatred of Christians would again occur. To believe in Jesus and endure to the end will take perseverance because of our faith will be challenged and opposed. Severe trials will sift true Christians from fair-weather believers. How many of you want to be a true Christian? Or are you just a fair-weather one? Oh, I'm going to go over here because it's just lolly-da-da-da over here. I don't want to hear about my sin. Just talk good. I want to drown in my sorrows. My goodness. Enduring to the end does not earn salvation for us. It marks us as already saved. Can I get amen? The assurance of our salvation will keep us going through the times of persecution. While some will suffer and some will even die, none of Jesus' followers will suffer spiritual or eternal loss. Praise God. Look what Paul wrote to Timothy right up here. He said, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Can I get amen? Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. If you are truly the elect of God, raise your hand. Amen. We are the elect of Christ. Hallelujah. God has a plan for us. Can I get amen?
Amen?
God wants the best for your life. And God will make sure that the providence of God, the plan of God in your life, he will see it through. With the good, the bad, and the ugly. It says, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Look at verse 11 here. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. I had to bring that neighbor next door who loves boxing as I ministered to those boxers yesterday as they gave their hearts to Jesus. He heard the gospel. And it was a witness to him. Hallelujah. Listen, we have to be bold in the days we live in. Can I get amen? This is not a time to be silent. Come on. When you're in the marketplace, when you're with family, and you know there's people that are not saved, this is a time to say, God, speak through me. God, empower my mouth, my lips, my heart, that they would know you. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to the Gentiles. Look at this. Verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, and God cannot deny himself. Aren't you just so blessed that he cannot deny himself? Now, as Jesus is on the Mount of Olives talking to his disciples, now it shifts, slightly shifts. Okay, so now let's look at verse 14. So when you see the abomination desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let all those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Now, this was a prophetic word right before 70 AD. Because Jesus said, all that you see is going to be tumbled and destroyed. Okay, but there's also a word. It's a secondary prophetic word for us today. So it goes on to say in verse 15, let him who is on the housetop now go down to the housetop, nor enter the gate, anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his garment. But woe to those who are pregnant, to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter. Let me just say this. When the Romans came, they had to make a decision like that. And then their whole temple was destroyed. Jesus prophesied, and it came to pass. It came to pass. My goodness, it came to pass. So Jesus warned against seeking signs, but a final part of his answer to the disciples' second question, he gave them the ultimate event that would signal the coming destruction. The sacrilegious object, saints, that causes desecration refers to the desecration of the temple by God's enemies. And that's what they did. They came in and they desecrated the temple. Guess what they brought into the temples? Does anyone know what they brought into the temples? They brought swine in there. They brought pigs in there. Which we all know is detestable to a Jew. They came to desecrate it. And not only that, it was twofold. The Romans came to destroy the Jews, but they came to destroy the Christians. My. And so, a more precise explanation has been dangerous for them, for the gospel fell in the wrong hands. So Mark urged them to understand Jesus' words in the light of prophecy from the Old Testament. This is what Daniel prophesied. And now check this out. Daniel prophesied not only the destruction of the temple, but what would take place in our day and time. Look at this. Then he shall confirm a covenant with many in 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering. And on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, what is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Look at this in Daniel 11:31. And forces shall be mustered by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. Then they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there, the abomination of desolation. That has happened. Now, they're starting to build the third temple. Everything is ready in place. The last time we were in Israel, all the furniture, the menorah, everything is ready. Daniel said, when this takes place, my goodness, look for Jesus to come. He's going to come. How many believe he's going to come? So the sacrilegious object refers to pagan idolatry and sacrifice. They came in to defile the place. The sacrilegious would occur in the temple itself. Standing, it would not be and cause it to be abandoned. Look how it's mentioned in 1 Kings. You know, the Old Testament is like a glove that fits perfectly with the New Testament. It comes together as one. There are some churches that won't read the Old Testament. And they won't even talk about Revelation. Why? We don't want to scare no one. It's all about love, brother. Yeah. Yeah. And when you see the armies of China and Russia and Iran and South America on our shores, where's the love, God? Look at this. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "Insomuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel sin to provoke me to anger with their sins." Let me just say this. This is a prophetic word for today, because the devil is trying to make the church sin. That's right. I read a survey. Pastors, elders, servants are addicted to pornography. That's right. Churches are allowing now homosexuals to marry. They're putting the third bathroom in now. It's becoming an abomination. And so the Bible says judgment starts in the house of God. And so God has to judge the church first before he judges the world. And so this is the time, saints, to get right with God. Can I get an amen? Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and let us press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I know sometimes living sanctified and holy. Yeah, I know it seems like, man, this is a tough road. But listen, the glory that's before us, it'll be worth it all. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. Forget about what this world offers. What is it offering right now? Destruction. You can't even go to Walmart for toothpaste no more. Someone coming in will mow you down. What does this world have to offer? Nothing. I want the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come. Hallelujah. And make things all new. Hallelujah. I want things all new now. Because these evildoers made Israel to sin. And because they chose to sin, God in his righteous indignation had to judge them. And God will judge Christians if they fall in the same sin. No differently. Can I get amen? Look at this. Surely I will take away the prosperity of Baasha and the posterity of the house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. Meaning, all these people that are going to drop dead, he's going to send animals to eat their carcasses. Wow. Could we be living in those days soon? I'm saying, God, take us out of here. Take us out of here, God. Jesus' words may also look far forward to the end times, when the Antichrist will commit the ultimate sacrilege by setting up an image of himself in the temple and ordering everyone to worship it. Look what it says here in Thessalonians right here. Look at this. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or trouble, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come. But look what it says here. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And right now there are so many people leaving churches. And some of them are running out of churches that will preach truth so that they could come and just have their sin coddled. They won't talk about end times. They won't talk about, all they want to do is shake you upside down and get more money out of you. That's all they want to do. They won't teach you to live holy and to live righteous before God. They won't. They'll say, come as you are, oh brother, oh yeah, yeah. And man, living in sin, living in abhorrent lifestyles. Oh, but just come, because all we're worried about is that you hear love and that you put money in the basket. That's it. And yet they're dying in their sin. Look at this. Unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, and that is worship, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's about to happen. Because that, as soon as that third temple is built, the man of sin is going in. God's word is true. Can I get an amen? Amen. God's word is true. Look what else it says here. Do you not remember that when I was with you still, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time? What's restraining everything right now? The Holy Spirit. He's holding off the intense darkness and evil. But once God removes the protection, man, it's going to come like a flood. And we're seeing signs of it already. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It is at work. Two back-to-back shootings. And then they found the third guy walking in with his assault rifle, and they caught him in time. But no one's talking about what happened in Chicago over the weekend. Huh? No one's talking about that. This liberal media, man, it's corrupt. Chicago, last weekend, 1,500 were shot. 500 were dead. And no one's talking about it. Go ahead and Google it. They won't tell you what. There's a war going on in Chicago. No one's telling you that. My goodness. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Listen, once the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, look out. They're going to pillage your homes. Look at this. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He is a lying wonder. Can I get amen? Don't believe anything that the devil has to say. He's the liar and the father of lies. Look at this. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. Did you catch that? The ones that are believing the culture. Oh man, it's okay. It's okay to live in sin. It's okay for them to marry. It's okay to have homosexual partners. And I'm not going to say anything about it. But they're perishing. It says, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You know, people in abhorrent lifestyles, God's going to hold you accountable to tell these people they need to repent or perish. There's no in between. There's no gray area. And if you came to this service to hear a lullaby, this is the time to leave now. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion. So even Christians will be a delusion. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, God's love. God understands. No, you need to repent and get right, or you're going to die in your sin. When's the last time you said that? Huh? When's the last time you told someone that you love, maybe your own child, that if you don't repent, you're going to die in your sin, and I don't want your blood on my hands? But it's okay. Live any way you want. God understands. He's love. Yeah, his love is what sends you to hell. Because he's a righteous God. He's holy. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Take that up with the word. Don't argue with me. I'm just a mailman sending you the letter today. You can curse me all day long. What's that preacher saying? I'm just telling you what God's word said. I'm letting you know what the times that we live in. My goodness. Let's go to verse 19 back in Mark chapter 13. For in those days there will be tribulation such as not been from the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. There's a tribulation coming, saints. We've seen World War I. We've seen World War II. We've seen Japan getting dropped by two nuclear bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And that was the beginning of the nuclear age. And now over 11 countries is nuked up. And they all got their finger on the button, ready to unleash. When Jesus says that there's going to be a tribulation like no other time, this ain't a fisticuff fight with your neighbor. No, these are nuclear ballistic missiles being sent left and right. My goodness. Saints, Jesus gave this warning to get out quickly, for these will be the days of greater horror than at any time since God created the world. Look what it says in Revelation. Revelation, which many churches won't read Revelation. They've asked pastors, how come you don't teach Revelation? We don't want to scare the people. You better be scared because you didn't preach the truth. Look at this in Revelation 16. For there are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. Is that us? Blessed who watches, who's looking for him, who's keeping our garments clean and not contaminated by the world. Lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. That's going to be the war of all wars. Jesus said it's going to be a day like no other day in the history of mankind. That's why Jesus said, unless he shortens the days, no flesh will be spared. My goodness. How many believe that God says what he says, and he does what he says, and he will do what he has said? Yes. Can I get amen? Amen? There's no reason to doubt him. And so, let's go to verse 20. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Have you noticed? Go back when you was 5 years old right now. 6, 7. Remember how long a day would be? And now? We wake up in the morning. Next thing you know, our eyes are shut. We're going to bed. It's like, where did the day go? Where did the day go? It's so fast because God is supernaturally shortening the days because he's about ready to return. He says, I will shorten the days. And they're happening right before us. Thank you, God. While a certain amount of persecution happened in the destruction of Jerusalem, Jesus may also have envisioned the persecution of believers throughout history. The persecution will be so severe that unless the Lord shortens that time, that is, if he had not had a specific ending time, no one would survive. So this refers to physical survival and spiritual survival. The time would be cut short for the sake of his chosen, us believers. Aren't you so blessed that you're part of that number? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. Sealed until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. That your names are written in the book of life. Thank you, God. The shortening of time will limit their destruction so that the destruction will not wipe out God's people and thus their mission. God is ultimately in charge of history, and he will not allow evil to exceed the bounds that he has set, for God watches over his. Hallelujah. Now, I want to talk about us. I want to talk about us, because how many believe that you're precious before God? Listen, God made a sovereign choice. Guess what? He chose you. He chose me. Yeah, I look in the mirror, I go, man, what did you see, God? And I found out it's not about me. It's about him. He made the choice. And you know what? I'm so glad he chose me, because I wouldn't choose me. And I probably wouldn't choose you. But he chose us. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Look at this. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification, the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He elected you that he would wash you in his blood. He would fill you with his Spirit, and that you would have a new life in Christ. Hallelujah. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We are new people in Christ. Can I get amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And God has put a supernatural hedge around you. But you may be here today and not even know who he is. Here's the good news. It's called repent. Get right. And this is not a political slogan. But you either get right with God or get left behind. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Just as he chose us. Say that with me. He chose us. Say that again. He chose us. And you could turn to your neighbor and goes, wow, he chose you too? How did that happen? I'm so blessed that he chose us. Can I get amen? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, before he spoke the whole world into existence, he chose us already. He knew you. My goodness, that's the mind of God. It far goes beyond our comprehension. Look at this, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoptions of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the goodwill of his what? Pleasure. Now, I got to ask you this question. How do we stand before God holy and without blame? Well, listen, come on, think about it. We have ungodly thoughts. Sometimes our motives are evil. We can praise God in the morning and curse someone out at night. Someone cuts us off on the freeway. Man, here comes the middle finger coming out of the window. Wait a minute. There's something on my phone that I got to look at. So, I have to ask this question. It's an honest question. How do we stand holy and blameless before God, knowing that we're sinful? Knowing that there's nothing good in me. Here's your answer. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So you got to look at it like this. When you repented, you came to Christ broken before him. He then comes and washes you in his blood. Then he fills you with his Spirit. And now he empowers you to walk holy and rightly before him. So now when God the Father looks down, he doesn't see Brother Fee no more. He doesn't see the dark heart no more. All he sees is the blood. That's how we stand holy before him. It's through the blood. Ain't nobody talking about the blood no more. Oh, no, this is not talking about the blood. Some people cut their finger and they run. Oh. But he shed his blood for us. Can I get an amen? Aren't you so blessed that we're washed in the blood? Aren't you so blessed that we didn't have to go to church for 3 years and then to see, did I make it? Did I get an approval by elder so-and-so? Oh, I got my membership card. I must be good. My goodness. Oh, some of you been there, huh? Listen, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Can I get amen? It's not by men. Right. It's not by religion. It's not by denomination. It's by God. Oh, by the way, if you think that you woke up one day, oh man, I'm going to go to church and I'm giving my life to Christ. Think again. If you thought you chose him, think again. Hallelujah. How many want to refute the word of God right now? Because I got something up here that will destroy your theological thinking. And it's right here. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Hallelujah. That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. He chose you. Your church didn't save you. Your denomination didn't save you. Hallelujah. I know some people that got filled with the Holy Ghost in their living room. My brother-in-law was on his motorcycle. He got baptized in Jesus' name. He was on his motorcycle. He had to pull over, and the Holy Ghost dropped right in him on a sidewalk. God makes a choice, and when he chooses you, it's a done deal. Oh, come on. Just say a little prayer and you're all right. Go home and still live like the devil. Because when he truly chooses you, he will empower you. He will change you from the inside out. And you will live uprightly. You will have conviction now in your life. Even when your mind and your heart is warring against it. Because Paul said, I didn't understand this until I got saved, but there's a war in my members now. My goodness. When the time of suffering comes, the important point for the disciples and all the believers to remember is that God is in total control. Can I get amen? Amen. Persecution will occur, but God knows about it and controls how long it will take. But guess what? God will not forget his people. Thank you, God. How many so blessed to know that he will not forget us? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Bear with me, saints, because what I have here, I got to bring it forward. Amen? Amen? If you were looking for a 20-minute sermonette, it wasn't here. I'm sorry. Verse 21, back in Mark 13. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ. Look, there he is. Do not believe, for false Christ, false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That's you and I. We can be deceived. How's that? The culture. The culture can lie to you. All these agendas that are coming up now, everything that comes against the word of God. And after you keep hearing the lie, you know what? I remember what Edo, our tour guide in Israel, said. He said, because there the Palestinians hate the Jews and their mind is to drive them into the sea. They hate the Jews. But their propaganda if they continue to spin the lie and keep continue to spin the lie, then it becomes truth to them. And right now, the lie is spun in this nation. What do we got now? Racism. We got this. We got just a sexual immoral explosion that has infiltrated the church, and it's causing even the elect to be deceived. My goodness. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. Hallelujah. So this is not new. Saints, the Old Testament frequently mentions false prophets who claim to receive messages from God, but they preached what the people wanted to hear, even when the nation was not following God as it should. I had to bring this one up. Jeremiah. Did you know that he was thrown? He was thrown into a water well hung upside down because he told the nation to repent. There are many wonderful prophets of God in our nation that's calling this nation to repent. But many, even in the church, is doing this. Don't bring that in here. It's all about love, brother. Look at this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. You better watch what when people try to prophesy over you. They may say things that's not even guided by the Spirit of God. It's out of their own mouth. Look what it says. They continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, no evil shall come upon you. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it perfectly. You know what he meant by that? These la-la-la-la-la-la ministries that are just la-la-la-la-la, they're going to stand before God because they didn't tell their people to repent. No differently. And they didn't want to hear Jeremiah. So they threw him down a water well, hung him upside down. They beat his feet. Look at this. I have not sent these prophets. In other words, these ones that are just all prosperity, just prosperity gospel, faith-based, name it and claim it. I believe, man, this VW bug, I'm laying hands, and when I open the garage tomorrow, it's going to be a Cadillac. And when you walk in and it's still a VW bug, they will say you didn't have enough faith. God doesn't send those kind of prophets. Can I get amen? He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Is this message getting clear this morning? Or am I just up here rambling? Or maybe I should just go home and soak my calf a little more. You're done, preacher. Go home now. No. God is saying this is the times that we live in. They're wicked. They're wicked. And if there's no one bringing truth, there's going to be people they're going to die on the vine. These were false prophets in Jesus' day, and we have them today. They are the popular leaders who will tell people what they want to hear, such as, God wants you to be rich. Do whatever your desire tells you. And then there's no such thing as sin or hell. Jesus also said that false messiahs would come, and he warned his disciples, as he warns us, not to be deceived by whatever signs and wonders they might produce. They'll be able to perform miracles designed to convince people that their claims are true. But their power will be by the trickery from Satan, not from God. Both false and true prophets can work miracles. Did you know that? Oh, yes. Okay, I'm going to go into the forbidden book again. Revelations. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in the worship to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That lying devil. He even does, quote unquote, you know what? I'm going to go a little further. I'm talking about these false prophets and these ones that cause all this. It's just a magic show. It's not real. But they deceive to make it look like it is real. Yet they will be convincing that they might even lead God's chosen ones astray. Is it possible for Christians to be deceived? Yes, Jesus pointed out the danger. Look at what he said right here in Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? In other words, who has cast a spell on your mind? Yeah, who are you listening to? Are you watching magic shows and horror movies and all these things that go boo in the dark? Are you listening to the deep, far left progressive lies that it's okay to murder? It's okay to live together in sin? It's okay to go in and out of bedrooms? We should not obey the truth, but whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Wow. Jesus died for all that. The arguments and proofs from deceivers in the end times will be convincing that it will be difficult to be faithful. It's going to be difficult to be faithful to the end. But if God is with us, who can be against us? Can I get an amen? If we are prepared, Jesus says we can remain faithful. With the Holy Spirit's help, believers will not give in and be able to discern what the deceivers say is false. This is the last scriptures, then we'll close. Back in Mark 13. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be dark, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with what? Great glory. Thank you, God. How many can't wait for that? Because the Old Testament prophets prophesied that. Look at Isaiah. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark and it's going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. Look what Joel says. The earthquakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Who can endure it? All these evildoers, the culture of this world, the culture, the nations that roar right now, wait till Jesus comes. They're not going to see anything like it ever before. God is going to just do a mighty thing. A mighty thing. That's right. How many can't wait for that? But these things have to happen. And they're going to happen. I looked. This is John the Revelator. I looked and the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon become like blood. Listen, these earthquakes, as I shared a week ago, they're coming in more succession. And there are 7.0 and plus around the world. And you better be praying that California is not like a potato chip that you just break off. If California were to just snap like a potato chip or a cookie, it'll go right into the ocean. Man, I'm telling you, that will bring this nation to its knees. This is why you need to be right before God. Can I get an amen? Because any of these things could happen. But this is what God is saying, what will happen in the last days. Jesus said there will be a time like no other. This is why he's shortening the days. Look at this. And the stars of heaven will fall to the earth as a fig tree drops by late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it rolled up, and even the mountain island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains. Why? Because Jesus showed up, not as a little baby in the manger. He didn't come as the one that was crucifying. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. He's going to come back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Can I get an amen? He's going to come, hallelujah, and make war on all the unbelievers and destroy them through his mouth. The word of God is going to come forth and destroy them with one word. And guess what? We're going to be on white horses with him. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Are you the ones marked in that number? Could there be someone here today that maybe your horse is not reserved? How many want to be back with the Lord when he comes again? Why? Because he's going to take his church out of the way, and then the indignation is going to come. And we're going to be hid in the pavilion up in heaven with him. This is where we're going to spend and celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where he's going to serve us up there. We're the bride of Christ. Can I get amen? Amen. We're going to be one with him up there. And we're going to be in our brand new bodies. I can't wait to have that new body. Can you? Or do you like this old one? You look in the cabinet and there's 15 bottles of meds up there. I mean, if you want that life, you can keep it. I want the new body. The one that will never die. Hallelujah. The one that will never grow old. Where the light and the glory will light up. And we will be able to stand before the Lamb of God and not be consumed in his glory. And look what's going to happen. These people are going to say, and they said to the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Huh? Who's able to stand? My. You're not here by coincidence to hear this message. Because God's about ready to do something on the earth. God is saying, are you ready? Are you ready? Because we close with this. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of the heavens. Hallelujah. And guess what? He's coming for you. 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 He's coming for me. He's going to send his angels and gather us from all four corners of the earth and take us up into his pavilion. Hallelujah. That day is coming. That day is coming. Hold on. Don't let go. Keep your faith. Keep your faith going. Can I get amen? Come on, brother. Come on. Keep your faith going. Don't stop now. Don't throw in the towel now. This is not time to throw in the towel. Oh, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can continue. No, you can. But not with your own strength. You need the power of God. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. And I know when I get home, this leg's going to be throbbing, but I don't care right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My brother used to tell me, no pain, no gain.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.